November 3rd, 2013. This is Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. And tonight my guest is an erstwhile guest on a slightly separate show. We briefly met there, and then we reconnected a couple of weeks back. So I'd like to introduce my guest tonight. Her name is Nikki Fetzi, she's all the way over in the United States of California. the altered states of California, and we're going to be discussing some interesting more stuff up my street. Of course, it's crystals and organite and energies and all of that stuff. But before we get to that, welcome, Nikki. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, JP, for having me on today.
So, it all starts a long time ago. For everybody.
Yes.
How did it start for you? I mean, how did it start for you? Let's not front load it. Yeah.
Well, I'm a very unique person. Since I was a little child, I've always noticed my intuitive abilities, and I was always a very unique child. Never see myself as any normal people. And another thing I've always noticed in my life was that I've always very well protected, very high security, not tangible, of course. It's the sixth sense of about you that you're being hidden and you're very, very well protected. And so I grew up, I was born in Laos, but I'm part Chinese and Thai and Laos. Mainly, I would say more than 50% I am Chinese. I came from the Chinese emperor bloodline lineage in this 3D reality. My family have gone back to China and were able to recover the family records. The book of records has photos and writings and the name lineages of our family background. So that's on the Chinese side. Now, knowing that, of course, I've always been very tuned in on the Chinese aspect, because in my soul level, in the soul level also has its own DNA lineage. And that is when I remember who I was. And I was also another emperor of China during the Tang Dynasty as well. And in many lifetimes, I have been the empress and an emperor as well, besides being Native American Indians and some other lives, all the way to Atlantis and Lemuria, and also in the cosmic universe as well. So remembering is very important, because that's part of our history. And by remembering, one can also activate different various part of their codes as well. Now, mind you, this is on the, there are three aspects that Holy Trinity of us. And that is the self, which is your DNA body, your body skin suit technology that comes with divinity. And it comes with soul. And that is when I'm Asian, but I recall the memory of being, you know, Anglo-Saxon, okay? And some of you as well, vice versa, are Anglo-Saxon, but remember perhaps you were Tibetan monk somewhere, you know, in Tibet. You see what I mean? So that's your soul DNA that has its own lineage and past, okay? And then on divinity level, I'm actually a reincarnation of a benevolent being. And because of that, I come with many codes that allows me to do earth work, working with Mother Earth, to be able to access many aspects, multidimensional levels of the Akashic records, and so also the galactic history as well. Does that help?
yeah. So, I mean,
I know it's extensive amount of information.
Well, no, but there's a lot of stuff that I've been researching in the last couple of weeks that kind of touched on that. So, and I'm also meeting people who have conscious memories of other lives. Mm-hmm. Which is something that I'm absolutely fascinated with, and I would love to be able to. remember my other lives, but, you know, it's not always a pleasant time. And maybe some of the parts of those lives are best forgotten, you know, so some of the slightly more brutal aspects of it. But one of the things you mentioned was Atlantis and Lemuria. Presumably in Atlantis you would have been, you would have been involved with the crystal technologies and things like that.
Yes.
Could you have any memories of that?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, I remember some of the people that I have encountered in this lifetime, what I call the soul family, you know, people you met, you work with, basically. And I've seen some people that use the crystal technology and do an engineering to program the Atlantis, where they kept the, a dome energy field, so people, the residents of the Atlantis can reside and strive within that high frequency, you see. So and also Lemuria as well, because crystal is, I think of it, it would be an equivalent to, in our modern society, as a microchip.
Yes. I read somewhere that it was like the guy who wrote the book, he discovered that he would be the guy who was experimenting on people, and he would place slivers of crystal, like glass, that would go straight into the brain, and then he could control other people from using that, like a master crystal that crystal comes from, to control the other people.
Yes, it's a very intuitive microchip, where it's like a mini computer in a cell, but at the same time, the microchip, it's like a DNA, has its own functionality, has its own programmed. It can be programmed, of course, right? Microchip has to be programmed by the creator. And so, and as an extension of that, one can use the program to cause it to do other things, to command for it to function however the creator wanted to be. That's part of the programming. And you know, crystals are pretty widely used. I mean, in today's society, modern society, men have used quartz crystal to create electricity. I mean, that's still being used today, and people don't realize
Everybody does it. Every single day, well, certainly anybody who smokes or uses gas flames or something like that, when they squeeze that lighter and it does this, that is a crystal being hammered and producing electricity that makes a spark that lights the gas. That's crystal technology.
Crystal technology.
So ubiquitous. And then everybody who's got anything that has electronics in it is using silicon crystals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every item, everything, every clock has a little heart, and that heart is crystal.
Well, when we look at crystal, it's such a general broad term. We can also dissect that into minuscule of what is crystal, because our human physical body is also has crystals. You know, water, when it freezes, it crystallizes. You see, our body can crystallize in different form and dimensions, and it can also retain the memory. That's why Dr. Emoto did an extensive experiment on, you know, crystallizing water by using sound technology to preserve and to create the water format, what's negative and versus positive energies, you know. So our body is the same. Whenever our physical body is 75-85% is exposed to negative energy, that is being crystallized. That means it's manifesting, formatting into that negative energy from the source, versus the positive energy, which is, you know, Tibetan prayer, Tibetan bowl prayer, or anything that's come from a higher frequency.
Yeah, actually, I have a mug, a coffee mug, a tea mug, that's got the word love written on it all up and down it. And it's my girlfriend's favorite mug when I make her tea. She says, "Oh, wait, why didn't you give me the love one?" You know, because that's you know, it has that it gives the imprint of it. So there's very much this. We were talking with Clayton Nolte last week about structured water, and how you know, water receives imprints and can be programmed and can be enlivened and all that stuff. So it's fascinating what you can do with the magical crystal that is water. You know, it's an entire computer.
And mind you, crystals, solid, right? They're made of atoms, molecules, ions, and it's arranged in how the order, the pattern that creates different types of crystals. And our body is the same way. You know, we have different way of arranging them. And if you look at all the ingredients that's made out of, that makes a crystal, you know, it's not too far-fetched from what we need in our physical body. Is that right? We need carbon, you need what, iron, you need different elements to make up the crystal. That's why our body is crystal. It can be programmed, and it's been done by thousands of years.
Well, you know, if it wasn't for calcium forming crystals, we'd be walking around in buckets. Well, we wouldn't be. We'd be slopping around. You know,
that's true.
We wouldn't have any structure. It's the the combination with calcium and silicon and those elements that create the bone structure that is our it's our skeleton.
Yeah, definitely. That's why we take supplements or we eat food that contain all those elements that come from Earth. I mean, what makes Earth? You know, it's all the sodium, potassium, you got, selenium, you got calcium, and some other, like I said, other elements that constitute that. Even certain elements that is not quite needed. The scientists have just started to find out little ingredients, traces, minerals that are they just discovering that they start to put it in the multivitamins now.
Yes, molybdenum is one of those that apparently is incredibly rare on this planet, but is one of those trace minerals which we need, one of the trace elements. So, yes, molybdenum. I can't even say the damn word. Anyway, so we got all of these crystal technologies that were extant, you know, many thousands of years ago, and then the whole kind of flood thing happened, and the Earth changes and the pole shift. And do you have any memories of that period of time, the big upheavals?
Actually, I'm hearing myself echoing, JP.
If my mic is still open, when you speak, but I tend to fade down as soon as you start speaking. So you might hear a bit of echo. Nobody, the audience don't hear that.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Thank you. It's kind of awkward hearing myself echoing in the background. I remember quite a bit. I remember as far as creation takes place and this whole story about how with Earth was created and who were the one that it were involved in creation of the Earth. And I can tell you at this point that, maybe people will say, well, you know, Nikki, Earth is by far the most, powerful. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not, and it's been in danger, okay, because besides the fact that humans and also outside forces such as ET, extraterrestrial, that have come in and influenced the humans and blowing, Earth up with using nuclear power and the nukes, and also not to mention creating nuclear power plant to create electricity and all the pollutions we can imagine, toxicating Mother Earth, causing a lot of damages to her, not to mention HARP, H-A-R-P. You know, all of these are man-made destruction, okay? And then on the human level, and that is where just by living on Earth, having the negative consciousness, people literally creating a lot of negativity that also gets to be buried inside Earth as well. And as a benevolent being, my job in this lifetime is to be able to clear the karma. Okay, because I'm on the karmic board. That means I'm in charge of the karma, having to go inside the heart of Mother Earth, transform it into a diamond crystal, okay, excuse me, and being inside it and then activating. My crown chakra opens up, connected to Prime Creator Source. Basically, I went in and deprogrammed the old system, because for many millennium years, many beings that have born to Earth were not able to leave Earth. They were stuck here because of the matrix that's programmed them, okay? And so they've been stuck. Because now they're stuck, they're trapped inside Earth. And all that energy will come out whenever there is natural things that happen, such as earthquake. But as we know now, HARP can also cause, you know, fake earthquake. But it's still an earthquake when you have a separation of Earth. And that, all of that, releases a lot of the dark energies that have not been ascended. And my job is to be able to program Mother Earth and allow the healing to take place, and then release all of that energy for the ascension. Now, the new program has been installed, and but now has been, we just finished programming for the new ascension. So there's different levels of the ascension. The old program, okay, that has been stuck for millions of years, and then you got people that are still living here, like this period of time that are, that still, I call them the new ascension, that they are still having to be deprogram and help with the ascension process. And these I have to do with a lot of people that are still alive on Earth.
Do you want to go into a little more detail about that, Nikki? Because that sounds like a fascinating, you know, people have always wondered, you know, how do we deal with the evil? So you're basically re-purifying. I mean, do they remember what they were afterwards?
Some have, or is it a sense of remorse?
Or, you know, what are the feelings involved?
Okay, what I'm about to say may not sound right for many people. Because of my gift, I can see in multiple dimensions, okay? I mean, name it, from Earth hardcore all the way to the inner Earth, interterrestrial, ET included, the inner Earth, and also the demonics, the Satans, and then 2D, 3D, all the way up to however 1544Ds. I have no limitations of how far I can go. And so that has always mean that as a child, sense of time and space, it's like it just never exists for me. I never believe in time as a child. Do I struggle with that? Yeah, I have, you know, trying to go to school on time, things like that. I've never been on time to anything all my life. So, but the point here is that because I'm able to float between time and space, I'm allowed to see and have access to all that information. There are many people that have been reincarnated. That means they come in with their past karma. If you incarnated, that means you're completely clean, renew, and then you're born on Earth, starting fresh, okay, without any karmic attachment. Does it mean you have problems? Of course, because as you continue living your life, you're creating that. So mindful path is always vital. But for the people who reincarnated, some remember and some don't. Some of them are, believe it or not, are perhaps has caused a lot of harm in past life, and you know, and they still hold that demonic energy within them, but they reincarnate as a human. You look at them and they look exactly just like human, okay? But when you go deep, deep, deep into their soul level, you will see that they're not human. They're demonics. They're Satan, okay? And that's why you have like those mass murder people, like what was that guy? Mason? Charles Mason, right? I mean, he is purely Satan. What is it?
Charles Manson.
Charles Manson.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. He is purely satanic. Okay? And because when I look to him, I see Satan. I see horns. Okay? I see tail. I don't see the human in 3D that we see. Okay? I see beyond that. Okay? So, can I see beyond his his true identity in the soul form, yes, I can also see beyond that. Okay, every time every human is being born, come with this skin suit technology of divinity code, and this is what I focusing on, is to activate each one of our divinity code, because that is our higher self that allow us to have the connection with Prime Creator Source. And by activating the divinity code, one can literally return home to Prime Creator. And yes, it can override the soul aspect, which is whether it's demon, humans, it could be ETs. Some of us are ETs that were born here. Some of us have been an older ET generations. Okay. Some are new or walk in, or maybe they just came from like past life. I mean, like maybe, you know, 100 years ago. It just really depends. Because anytime the ETs come in, they can come in any day, any given time to take over the body when you allow to.
and the film K-Pax was about that.
Yes.
The guy was committing suicide. He had no use of his body, so K-Pax stepped in because he was, you know, they were on his way. And,
yes.
You know,
that is such a great movie.
Beautiful film.
Foretells about the walk-ins.
So before I lose the thread of that, let's see if I get this right. The demonics are going to source as soon as possible. So that means they, in fact, have returned to source before everybody else does.
No, there are different levels of ascension.
I was just wondering.
No, there are different levels of ascension. You see, part of being on Earth, Mother Earth machine, our physical body is the extension of her. We are the ascension machine. This physical body that we hold, that we consider the temple, is the ascension machine. Without this physical body, we cannot ascend. Okay, this ascension has to involve your ability to go through life lesson, acquiring different experiences. It's like putting a piggy bank in with a money saving, and each of that saving, that money, your coin you put in that piggy bank, is the energy. Every life lesson, challenges that you overcome, whether you're demonic, Satan, or ET, or just plain humans. Okay, it doesn't matter. The point is to overcome these challenges, and every time one does, you like gain like this like little karmic, I call karmic credit, and you put it in this piggy bank. And as that piggy bank is full, it opens up your heart chakra. The heart in itself can open. Once it's that open, it allows you to connect with your pineal, your crown, and connects you to Prime Creator Source and your divinity. You see, without the heart chakra open, you can't. It is this heart chakra, when it's open, okay, one can manipulate energy. One can do so many things with it. There are many avatars out there, and shamans, or you know, witches, and whatever you want to name it. Okay, it doesn't matter. Druids and whatever the spell you want to do. Those, I'm gonna say, it's not as pure as when one is connected with divinity code, because divinity code is much more pure. Okay, divinity code is living with heart wisdom and love and light to practice love, compassion, and forgiveness, so that all conscious beings have the rights to exist in harmony, so that they may return home to Prime Creator. That is the ultimate ascension. You see, by when you're opening, activating that divinity code, you're connected with Prime Creator Source, and allows you to be that co-creator. It's very powerful. You don't need to do spells. You don't need to move energies. Just by a blink of an eye, you can cause things to happen, to manifest, just by a blink of an eye. That's how fast it works. You're in the quantum field now, constantly in the quantum field. Okay, that's the difference.
This is the flow that Abraham Hicks talks about. You know, going in the vortex. You're in that everything's moving, so all you need to do is make a very small conscious movement, and you can influence the way reality unfolds from that point. Is that right?
Right. That is true. But my pick on that is, you know, one has to really clean up the closet. Okay. When I mention closet, it's a metaphor for all the junk that we collected over the years, particularly all the negativities, all the things that cause us to be traumatized, you see, and even the happiest thing, because many times we have been distorted by what is reality. You see, if you're, let's say, if you're born in a culture that practice, you know, hiding your hair, and as a woman, you have no rights to even drive. So you are, what is freedom in that? So if you choose to go out and to drive, you know, does that mean you truly have a freedom? You see what I mean? It has to be in that context when people define what freedom is. True freedom is, that means there is no attachment, there is no law. You choose what you wanted to do. You see, and it's always usually for your highest good. It's not going to cause any negativity, okay? So you have to be able to see beyond to understand a lot of forces that takes place.
Ever beyond.
Ever beyond. There are celestial forces that's beyond us at work, and I'm just amazed every day how things are working out. For example, this weekend, okay, I had this gentleman that was flying in. And Bernie, and he's been not activated, I would say in dormant, okay, until now. The Mother Earth has been programmed, and the old matrix system has been coming down. I cleaned it a couple days ago, okay, so the new matrix has to go up. So the question is, what are we building it with? And I got another upgrade from that, and the Golden Mesh came into to me and came and say, hey, you know, you're the one that's going to be building the matrix. I'm like, excuse me, more work for me, you know. So and then I also end up meeting Amaretisu, which is also, and I didn't know this, it was written in this sacred text of the Sanskrit in Tibet. And I called up my friend for some reason. I'm like, I gotta call my friend. And my friend Shalaya said, and I shared with her the story. She's like, Nikki, I have information for you. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah. You know about Amaretisu? I'm like, no. And she started explaining. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Amaretisu, it came from the central sun. She's the creator, okay? And her partner is Golden Mesh. So basically what they did was they upgraded my status as already a benevolent being on the karmic board, to be able to build the new matrix. And building the new matrix now is going to be the golden matrix, because it's the divinity codes that we are building upon. For the old system, Metatron actually got kicked out. He got kicked out because he went bad. Okay, they kicked him out a long time ago, and because he was also influenced by a lot of the dark forces. Okay, so and mind you, I never asked for this position, you know, and I'm just like, okay, Nikki, let's go in meditation. As soon as I close my eye, I see vividly, like you're watching a movie. Okay, that's how I see. Besides the fact that when I looked up in the blue, clear blue sky, I can also see the grid, the earth grid, and I can also see energy flickering, like white little spots, like flickering, moving constantly. So those are what I can see with my naked eyes. Now, the golden matrix. So this gentleman tried to fly in, okay, to come and see me to get the activation, okay. And so because he's laid dormant, I could not see beyond that. It was like I could see the past. I could see the Akashic record. I knew something big was going to happen, but I couldn't see what was beyond at that moment. What am I activating? But I knew I had to activate that. So he was flying in. He had to land in LAX. Guess what happened in LAX Friday? Shooting. There's this man. Of course, there's always story why I did this, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But what they don't see is beyond that. And that's where I come in. This man came in with a gun and started shooting at people. Okay, I think it's some Terminal 3 or whatever. But anyway, what happened was it caused a huge shutdown of LAX. So my friend could not come and see me. He was supposed to take the flight from LAX to San Diego. Okay, that's where I'm at. And fly here. And it didn't happen because he was stuck in LA. It was completely shut down. I think seven people got injured. One cop died. Okay. And so, and of course, because of that, everything, you know, and even San Diego Airport was affected by all of that. All the small little airports were affected because, you know, LAX is international airport. So my friend, he's intuitive and he trusts things, but not clearly cannot see everything because he's still dormant. So he literally took a car, drove all the way from LAX to come and see me. You see, so I did the activation and I did all that. It was very, very powerful. I needed this portion to get it done so then I can start, you know, it takes different steps for one to go and build the golden matrix. You need like different components, just as one trying to, you know, make an omelet. You need different ingredients to complete a beautiful omelet. So, you know, and this has been laid out. You know, the prophecy talked about, you know, this great timing of what's going to happen in November, in December, and I'm just basically like doing the work as the prophecy has already stated for thousands of years. I mean, I'm including the Mayans and Edward Cayce and all that. And mind you, I don't read any of that stuff. Okay, as a child, never had time nor exposure to any of this metaphysics. Okay, the only thing I've been exposed to growing up was a lot of chaos because I was a refugee camp. I was in a refugee camp, grew up in refugee camp because of the Vietnam came in and destroyed Laos. They were converting Laos to the communist country. So that was the Vietnam War era that I lived through as a little child. I lost my father, my homes, my country, everything. And I don't know anyone know about the lifestyle of refugee camp. I mean, this is like you have to cross the Mekong River where the men rape women. You know, they take all your possession, gold, money. You live on the dirt ground, you know, in the rain. You live with cockroach with other people share where there's one place of water. I mean, name it. That's my lifestyle. That's what I had to grow up with. And I'm not saying there's any, you know, I mean, definitely there's no regret because it's such a strong training foundation for me and appreciation for humanity going through that kind of process. Okay, so who had time to think about, you know, who's the next guru or, you know, anything like that? Not even religion in itself, you know, we don't have time for that. You know, when all you're doing is worrying where you're going to be. Are you going to be in the rain? Are you going to have a roof over your head? Or who's going to kill you next? That's all you worried about. So that was my life story growing up until I came to the United States. It took us 6 years to get here. Okay. So, you know, in terms of guru, how do I acquire my gifts and skill? It's purely from within. Purely from within. Okay, so I never had time to watch TV, you know, listening to music. There's no such thing. That's not what I was exposed to at all. So being awakened and aware, and to work at this level is just beyond words for me. Beyond. And that is something that I do full time and overtime, shall we say. Because when you're on galactic clock, there is no 9-to-5 job. It's whenever, anywhere, anytime. Okay, so, you know, if the cosmic, planet is passing by or transitioning, you know, something's gonna happen. You talk about Mercury retrograding, you know, I mean, something's gonna happen. And I would be part of that. Because it takes energies to, make something. Okay, and so things are happening constantly. There are, not just people, but there are ETs, extraterrestrial beings beyond us in multiple dimensions that are relying on these cosmic forces that you have to play with, shall we say, and adjust according to how things are played out.
So, do you want to give us a bit of detail? I mean, for instance, what kind of situation would your consciousness be involved in? Because obviously, you know, you're not, you may be, it's like, like, what is you when you say, I do this, and the codes and computer and all that stuff? Because it's like your higher self. What's your skin suit doing at the time when you're doing that?
Okay, my skin suit, my body skin suit technology, I'm 5'2", about 100 pounds. And when I do this work, I burn about 2-3 pounds a day if I'm not careful. So I created like galactic, I call it the galactic juice that I created to supplement. When I'm in this state of mind, I'm in basically, you know, I always say a solid 12 hours constant meditation daily, but I really do more than that, because even when I'm done, okay, let's say I'm going wash dishes or, you know, try and prepare food or driving to somewhere because I have to, I'm still working to a point where it damages my car. That's how much, how bad it is, because the energy is so high, so big, it's intense, that it caused electrical problems into my vehicle. My vehicle is only year 2005, so it's still, you know, it still shouldn't be falling apart. And I already spent a lot of money, over $2,000 already, just fixing my car alone, because of the amount of energy, the intensity that comes from me, that shoots out and vibrates, radiate into anything that I touch, especially when I'm working. Okay, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I used to have cars like that too. No, but no, car, every car that I've had has kind of vibrated apart. You know, mm-hmm. things loosen up, you know, things fall off. It's very much, it's like, I feel like for me there's an accelerated time zone around me. So mm-hmm. if something's going to decay, it'll decay faster. You know, if something's going to get good, it'll get good faster. But, you know, things get to their destiny faster. So if you give me an old car, it'll be the last owner the car will ever have, because I'll accelerate it towards its destiny. That's a good way of putting it.
I would say the process of decaying, it's more like electric circuit shortage or something like that. You know, I had a cell phone for years, and it goes out every month. I had to get a new phone every month. Now I got to get the really nice Samsung Galaxy 3, and I bought this, I gotta say the name, OtterBox. Okay, and it's like double coated, skin suit, you know, strap on my phone. And when I touch it, I'm not sending electricity and short circuiting my cell phone. So far it's been good. So I'm crossing my finger. I've had it for about a year now, a year and 1 month. So it hasn't short circuit on me yet, but I did got it, to go had it fixed one time. So, but yeah, that thick rubber, I mean, it's double coated plastic rubber that really helps to separate my energy, because it's such a high force sent into the cell phone itself. Plus I have like this program that my friend created, and it's a reverse engineering program that I installed onto my cell phone, that it kind of helps negate a lot of the energy that I send into my cell phone.
So yeah, certainly having a military hardened phone would probably work for you. EMP hardened.
Yeah, that would work. And then, of course, you know, with my energy, it's like, even when I'm on Skype, when I do private consultation with clients, automatically Wi-Fi will sometimes go down. There's a lot of static that's coming from me. My energy just shoots out, and they could feel the energy. Anytime a client call and they're like, Nikki, when are we doing healing? I'm like, I already start the healing. I can talk to someone and I'm more programmed to already start doing the healing on them while they're in my presence, because that's because of who I am. That's how I'm programmed to constantly heal people. You see, but I'm conscious, see, because I'm very well aware of myself in multiple dimensions, that I can see that I'm doing it while I'm talking to them in 3D reality and solving their problems. Yeah. So
it's the problem of the language we're using to communicate is the first person, the I, you know, what is I and what is me and what is like, you know, because the idea of a unity consciousness can't be expressed in the English language, and I think that's the big problem. This is why we were given the English language, because it is necessarily separative and it keeps us locked into the matrix, as well as other languages, but particularly English. It is very effective for breaking up our soul energy into fragments. What do you think?
Yes, and that's why listening to instrumental music is vital. Okay, and I say instrumental, not verbiage, not things with lyrics, because those can program you. Okay, you want to listen to instrumental because those are nothing but vibration, and our body is through creation. There is a Fibonacci numbers. You're talking about frequency, the harmonics. Okay, music is written in the harmonics. Okay, but the question is which one? You want to listen to any of the Baroque music are wonderful for the harmonics of creation. I prefer Mozart. Beethoven's a wonderful one, especially with Moonlight Sonata. Okay, and there's some other ones. It really depends on individual's path, where they're at spiritually. Okay, there are those that still need a lot of cleaning in the closet to do. So they may want more, you know, strong type of with lots of drums, you know, or bass type of instrumental music. Whereas Mozart, you know, in his violin pieces are very air. You see, it's very light. And that's creation. You know, the highest frequency should be very subtle. It's not like pow, pow, pow. You know, most people think power. You see, when you say power, and I encourage some of you for a listener out there to do it, and you can try this, JP. When I say power, I want you to use your hands. Okay, use your body and say, and when you say power, what is your hand doing? Is your hand grasping in a fist?
Punching, isn't it?
And you're sticking out. Now take a look at that. How much is power in that? Okay, if you're looking at energy, energy comes out from the palm of your hand. When you say power, you're cringing your fist. You are not projecting any energy that's coming out from that hand. But when you open your hands, look at how much power is coming out. Okay, look at Buddha. Buddha is not cringing his hands. He had open hands. That's where the power comes. When one does energy healing, do you cringe, cringe your fist? No, you open your hands. You see? When you welcome someone, when you're loving, embracing, love, where's your hands? Your hands are open. You can see your palms. You see? That's where the true power comes in. And it's the greatest power, and it's very subtle. You see? It's very much more subtle energy. When you do the fist, subconsciously you're thinking, I'm going to get hit. You see? It's a strike. You're going to get hit. Somebody's get a pow. What does that mean? Somebody's getting a pow. That means somebody's going to strike. Strike an object, strike at you, or strike at someone. That's destruction. See, the highest frequency that is super powerful should be very subtle. Very subtle. And that's where the unconditional love frequency comes from. As well, if you want to translate it into frequency.
So that's interesting. Because that goes to the science of mudra as well.
Yes.
The positioning of the connections between the different fingers.
And yes.
You'll see them if you look at these tanka, the silken paintings that are made in Tibet during a meditation by monks. The Buddhas, it seems like they have like 10, 20 arms. But what they are is, if you look at each of the different hands, every hand is in a specific position, and there are electrical circuits that connect these things. So they're not actually, it's a bit like a semaphore, isn't it? As well, mm-hmm. It's like it shapes the energy as it comes through. So you get a different coil or a different twist as the energy comes through. This is, and it looks like they're painting their deities with hundreds of arms, but no, it's hundreds of different energy channel frequency expressions. Is that right?
Actually, you're right on a lot of the what you said. Now, we as human have a lot. We're energies. What do you think? Energy. Energy is electricity. Okay. We generate electricity. You can walk on the carpet and you'll be zapping everybody. Your hair goes up because we're electricity. Okay. If we're not electricity, but it'll be like between a piece of wood. You know, that's why we touch wood to take out, you know, like live electrical wire because there's no transfer. Our body can generate electricity in itself. Okay. So by that, when you do the hand mudras, okay, and it creates a different circuitry pathways. Okay. And mind you, I never studied this, but I went into meditation when I was activated. I was basically became Buddha. I mean, literally a golden Buddha. And then I went into playing with my fingers and I did an experiment and I literally wrote all of this down. You know, so when you do thumb and fingers, that is connecting with your third chakras. Okay. So thumb and middle chakras, 4 to 7. You see, so literally I made notes of everything that I've done with my fingers. I never was learned this by any guru, okay? So yes, so the finger mudra exists, and the hands, when you do it, they're open. They're not closed up like a fist. You see, even when you do bow down like in a prayer hands, their hands are still open, but because they're facing each other, you're sending literally electrical information, completing the circuit in just within inside your own physical body. You see, that's why when you pray, the prayer, the energy gets expanded a little bit higher, okay? Because you're able to project that biophotons energy through your subconsciousness. Okay, what was your other question? The hands, the multiple hands. Okay, the multiple hands to me is also a representation of for our consciousness to be able to access multiple dimensions. For example, if you look at Shiva or Guan Yin, you'll see that she has 1,000 arms. Okay, Buddha gave her the abilities, creator gave her the abilities to have 1,000 arms because she has to be able to manage many things, you see, teaching people about love, forgiveness, and being merciful and having to manage everything. You have to be able to multitask, and it not just multitask in 3D reality, but you're also doing it on other multiple dimension as well. So by having the arm, it's like a representation that she can literally access, and taking care, resolving problems in many facets and multiple dimensions.
Yeah, because my mum always used to complain, "Oh, I've only got one pair of hands. You know, I can't I can only do one thing at a time." So,
yeah, and you know, like I said, like for me, you know, I can be driving, and I could go to a fifth dimension and work, and then check on my let's say my client that has a problem. You see what I mean? And then my other self, that part of me in let's say seventh dimension, is working on the new earth, building the golden grid. You see what I mean? And then my other dimension of me is out looking for the rest of my team, trying to find out, okay, I need these team of people to be able to help build the grid. Where are the key people? You know, where are all the ascension line? Where are all the portals? Where are all the dragon ley lines where we can send the energy and be able to disconnect this central line from the dark force? You see what I mean? I mean, I'm working like I'm like multitasking constantly, you know. So when you do that, I mean, you burn up energies on this 3D dimension fast. So your calories go up fast. Because you're now, because anytime you're in the quantum field, you burn fast. Literally. It makes sense to drink juice, galactic juice that I make. And that's free for people, anybody who's interested. It's at tnanohealingtools.com. And I think I posted it on my blog, Info News. You got to go check it. Okay, so that's free. It's also on my Facebook for people to be able to access that. Yeah, do you know why people do juice? Do you juice? GP?
Do I juice?
Yes.
I try. I tell you why, it's mucky, you know, like one glass of juice and I've got like a whole pile of vegetable peelings, there's vegetable corpse everywhere, and then there's the stuff that you have to scoop out of the blender, of the juicer, and then it all has to go in the thing, and then I have to wash my hands, and like, I can only do that like once or twice a week. It's just, I couldn't do it every day.
Yeah, I understand. And I know you and I had talked about doing juicing as such. And, you know, the reason I really promote juicing is because when your body needs such a high, you're in a state of high frequency in the quantum field doing the work at this level, you need constant high frequency food and also taking less energy from your physical body to break down the food itself. That is like that process of digestion before absorption can take place. You see, so it takes energy. So all your blood come from your, especially from your brain, okay, goes down to your stomach, and that's where the digestion take place. It's going to chop down all the hydrochloric acid, it's going to spew out, and then, you know, all the sodium, name it, all comes out, and it's going to cut everything down into chyme, like, you know, when you throw up, kind of looks like that, it's called chyme. It eventually goes in your large, small intestine, and that's where absorption takes place in different parts of the intestine, and depend on what it is. And water, you know, nutrients will get absorbed through that process as it passes through. So, and it takes less energy, you see, when you do your blending food. And it just super fast. And when I drink that in the morning, I'm ready. I'm ready to read any Akashic records or do any galactic history or, you know, open up the karmic board and do whatever I need to. Because there'll be time where I'm sleeping, 3 a.m. knocking at my door. Not literally, but when I close my eye, it's always meditation. They'll come in. There'll be like all these ETs coming, and there'll be millions of them, not just this galaxy, but other galaxy will come through. And like, we have this problem. We have this situation. We need you to help. And one of the things that really surprised me, okay, is that, now knowing what I already knew, but still it's really good to hear from somebody else, right? So these ETs are coming, and I'm like, okay, so what's up? What can I help you guys with? And one of the ET races that came through were the Orions, and they're like, the first thing they said was, we're worried about our karma. I'm like, what do you mean worried about your karma, your ETs? So we're having this conversation, and they're like, yeah, we kind of did this, we need help. And I'm like, oh, great, okay, sure, you know. So you work on that, and in their dramata included, their race were actually being extinguished, and their technology was actually hijacked. So their race was being extinguished, and they could not ascend. Their race, okay, the Andromedan that have already come in as human in this, stuck in this earth, cannot leave. Okay, and you hear this from, you know, a lot of those New Age metaphysic or whatever people, you know, people like David Icke and some of those group of people talk a lot about how, you know, many people are stuck here and they cannot ascend. This is true. Okay, I don't agree with everything they say, but in terms of the human here being stuck, now we're going to define who are these human. Like I said earlier, some are ET, some are demonic, some are just plain humans that have been stuck here for years and years, okay, and they just keep reincarnating into the same grid. They never change because of their karma is programmed into that, okay? So what happened is, I went and I checked and I found the source. So out in Saturn, there's a Metatron cube that was built, okay, and it was hijacked by the 15 dimensional being. So what they did was they took it was part of the Andromeda that gave them this technology, and they basically when it was hijacked, they could not reproduce. People, their own people, race, were not ascending. That means when they die, they have, you know, their spirit goes up. Okay, it goes up and born into that race, and to be able, you know, live out whatever the lifestyle that they're doing. None of that was happening. So they're stuck. There's no regeneration. You see, it takes a soul to create a being, whatever that being may be. You see? So that soul were stuck. They couldn't. So what I did was I went and I fixed that. Literally fixed that Metatron cube on Saturn. Okay? And now their Andromedan are, they're they're existing. And more and more dromedans are going to come out. Okay, most of the time right now, if you look at all, a lot of the YouTubes and people that are coming out, you see a lot of the Syrians. The Syrians and the Pleiades exist. Okay, the Orion, not the Dromeda. You'll see some Atrians too, but mainly it's the Dromeda. It's not coming out. And they're in this galaxy. You don't see a lot of them. You wonder, why is that?
I seem to have a connection with Andromedans because I've had three Andromedan representatives talk on my show. I've had Alex Collier, who's like probably the most famous, if you like, in that field, and then I had Mark Kimmel and then Tolek. So there's a Andromedan revival, and people seem to like what they say. More than anything, they seem to have a very cool perspective. It's not hysterical at all. You know, it's very calm and cool.
The nine council of the Andromedan were the one that approached me, and it's always the top ranking officials, representative of each of their race, that come to approach. When I call it, the karmic board is in session. You know, it's like Supreme Court is open, so it's kind of like that. And I like to, you know, add some sense of humor into this because it's just out of this world. I mean, literally, it's out of this world. And doing this kind of work, and the Andromedan people are very beings, race, very, very unique, and they're different. And they love, one of the things that they're really good at is sound technology. Okay, very good at that. It's different from Atreans, Syrians, Pleiades as well. Very, very different. Can I, you know, in this 3D reality, if I were to walk around in like a mass amount of, you know, groups of people, like, you know, shopping mall or, you know, big conferences in a hotel with, you know, 30,000 people, can I identify each one? Yes. I can identify each. That's walking around and say, what are you? What are you? What are you? I've done that. It's a lot of fun. It's like people watching, or you're like being watching. No, they exist, but Andromedan race is one of those that is a very beautiful, beautiful race, and they just want to survive, you know, continue their species, survival of their species. Whereas there are others that not doing. They basically took over and built another cube. Okay, and they been harnessing our dream time. Okay, they've been harnessing our dream time and collected in this cube, and this cube was used to collect not just our dream time, but a lot of negativity. And you hear some other people. I think Michael Tierson, or I can't remember his name, but he talked about how Tessarin, how we're like farm, you know, like we're animal farm, and they're just harnessing us. In a way, it is true. Our energy have been harnessed, okay? And there are beings, okay, out there that are doing that, but I changed that already, okay? So they have a cube, this giant cube, bigger than the one in Saturn, and they've been harnessing it. And what they did was, and then I'm like, okay, this is why I'm sitting there doing this, you know, being on the court, doing this Supreme Court, listening to what's going on. I'm going, okay, this, why do I feel like this happened before? You know, and it's funny, like when I do this work, it feels very familiar. Like, okay, I've done this before. Then I tune into myself and I realize, oh my God, I've been here 9 cycles already doing this, and that's what, like 25,292 years or something like that for each cycle. And I'm going, oh my God, this is familiar. I've done this before. Okay, so I'm tired of doing this, and I want to find the real truth of this, you know. And I'm like, it ends right here and right now. So I went and I dig further, and I found now it was the Archons were the one that were responsible for this, and they were collecting all these energies, okay, to do all of this. And then they using that energies going to create their own prime creator. See, prime creator is neutralized. Okay. It's a neutral zone. But the Archons were kind of like, I call them kind of, this is my analogy of them, like the warts on your toe. the big wart on your toe. So because they're part of Prime Creator sticking out, okay, and they cannot ascend, so they're stuck. Because they're stuck, then they're like, okay, I'm gonna go and create my own. They don't care about any destruction. They don't care. They were also the one that was involved in giving Nazi the technologies. Okay? The nuke, name it. Okay, all those mass killing and all the ones, they were the one that's responsible. They're also the ones responsible for the dark forces, Illuminati, Masonic, name it. They're the one that's responsible.
So
undermining
the
our
Archons.
Society. Yeah, the Archons.
The Archons. Mm-hmm. And are they connected with you know, you see on the news, if you look at the news introduction programs, you see these, and it's always like broken circles that are spinning around opposite each other, you know, so you get one going clockwise, one going anti-clockwise, but they're arcs. Is this connected with the Archons? I was wondering about this yesterday.
Which circle? If you send me the website, I need to see.
It's you know, almost every television news program that you see has a logo that is a circle, and then around the circle are these little parts of a circle. You know what I'm saying? An arc.
Is an arc.
That it's something to do with the Archons' programming. The way that we're programmed is using these.
Does it look something like the Olympic? I always question that. The Olympics symbols? You know, like a circle within a circle?
Those are five-link circles, but yes. Yeah. You know, anything where you've got a circle within a circle, yeah. And they're not whole circles. They're like, and they're kind of rotating.
Yeah.
This is part of a hypnotic programming that the news says, you know, here we go. You're counting down, 5, 4, 3, and you're down. And you're in this beautiful place, and now we're going to traumatize you.
Yeah. I'm actually tuning into what you're seeing right now, and I'm seeing it, and I'm giving you confirmation. Yeah, it is.
So
it is.
So tell us a little about the Archons, and some people say that they've been here forever. Some people say that they are connected with a deal that John Dee did in Elizabethan times. Is that something to do with that?
No.
Or is that something different?
No, that's something different.
Yeah.
This is after, if any connection with John Dee. Okay, I'm tuning in for... See, whatever I say, I always like trying to get confirmation, okay? So what I'm seeing is that, no, they were part of the creation. They came out from creation. Like I said, it's like you grew this warts that stuck out on your big toes, and that's what they were. Because they exist, they could not reach enlightenment. They don't have any of that program in them. They don't even have hearts. Okay, all they know is destruction. Okay, if anything, I felt really sorry for them, and I had this conversation directly with them, and I said, because they did not want to come through, and I forced them, like, you better get here and talk right now. I mean, when this was going on, the court session was going on, we're talking about like billions of ETs from not just this galaxy, but other galaxy were all tuning in. It was like, oh my God, I mean, my Wi-Fi was going crazy. Because of their energy were so strong, you know, everyone wanted to hear, and I could literally feel like in around my space, like, come on, you guys, give me some space here. But they weren't, you know, but here's the thing, okay, here's the difference. When you have a lot of ETs coming through, okay, whether, and including the goods and the bad ones, you know, they're just like human, they're good people and they're bad people, you know, if you're not doing the right thing, they'll come interfere. But they'll come with aggression. But this was nothing of aggression. It was very peaceful. It just saw a lot of them all come at the same time. Literally, like, my Wi-Fi went crazy, like, on, off. It was, but anyways, one of the things that, the Archon, okay, don't have, like I said, is the heart. They're all about destruction. And I said, look, what is the purpose of creating Prime Creator? Okay, they say to destroy this galaxy. I'm like, well, if you know, because they're on those where they're bored. They think they're, you know, Prime Creator, but on the dark side. So that's why they want to go create their own Prime Creator. I'm like, for what? To destroy this galaxy. I go, okay, well, if you're done playing with all your toys, okay, manipulating people, mind control, and all the organization and such and such. You know, so, you know, then you got nothing else to play with. And what are you going to do? And they did not like that when I present that concept to them. And they're like, oh, I don't care. I'm going to go. What they're planning on doing is going to different galaxy and destroy each of the galaxy as they go. Okay, so for this galaxy, the Archons here, their purpose is to destroy this galaxy. And that was just mind-blowing for me to hear this. Okay, and I said, no, you cannot do that. And there are just, gosh, JP, celestial being forces that's beyond them, that's at work. Okay, and that's called the Central Sun. And that is where Central Sun step in. And they're like, no, you can't do stuff like that. And having that, with that connection in the cult, I was able to resolve that problem. So, and so more of the dark side, the Illuminati, name it, all those organizations, they're all gonna eventually unfold more and more. You're gonna see more falling of the banking systems and the churches and the, you know, religious institution that we know of, the well-known ones. Okay, none of these, you know, child pornography and raping children ring that's going to continue, things like that. It's not part of, you know, love and light creation. And if, you know, in creation, in neutrality, okay, there's just neutral. There's only one, the law of one. You have negative and positive. They can coexist. And there's always in flux. It's half and half. There's nothing more or less. It's half and half. What happened was over the years, the Archon had made it in such a way that dark forces, okay, the other negative energies, okay, have overcome the positive. Okay? But now the lights are taking over. They're claiming their sovereignty and bringing that back. And that's part of my job, is to restore the natural law. Okay? I'm not building anything new. My job is to strictly restore what is natural law, bringing the balance, the harmonies of the dark and the light together so they can coexist. You see, you have to have coexistence. You know, I'm bringing that back to 3D reality for a little bit. You know, in Hawaii and also in Cuba, when they grow sugar canes, right? How do they recycle the sugar canes? Once they harvest the sugar cane, they have to go and like do a lot of burning, right? But they burn it first and they go harvest. You see, the point here is being burnt and all the ashes goes back to earth and provide nutrients and they can grow more. You see? So when the concept of burning, that's destroying something. Okay, and look at the side effect of when you burn something. You're talking about, you know, the negative gas that's coming out, you know, released into the air, and it's just bad for your health to breathe in, you know. And it gets everywhere, you know, by where the residents gets consumed by that very toxic waste. Okay, and so that's what you're looking at, destruction for new growth. Okay, so you can't always have light. To see light, one must experience darkness. To experience darkness, one can see light. You see? So that is where the concept polarity will always, always exist within us, humanity. Because we are part of that creation from that pot. Cause so when people say, oh, you know, we're human, you're not spiritually enlightened, so you always gonna think negative and positive. It's not so true. It's not so true. One can acknowledge the existence, but not to ignore. Okay, that's where the heart wisdom come in, to acknowledge the existence of both and respect it and choose wisely. As part of being human is to the having the ability, the heart wisdom, to filter, decipher, use discernment so that we can reach enlightenment and go up and up and up. You see? And what I'm about to say also includes for addressing the light workers, you know, before light workers, many of them will go and destroy, they'll go zap any negative energy, dark energy, you know, they'll call Archangel Michael and, you know, have them zap and take care of demonic energies, things like that. It's not what I practice. Okay? You have to understand that some of these dark energy forces have also been controlled. You see? They also need our help and blessings. They've been stuck. If they don't do what their Dark Lord is telling them, they literally can get vaporized and they just disappear and they'll never come back ever. Disintegrate completely. So out of that fear of it to exist, they have to follow what their commanders say. Okay, so the Dark Force are under control. They have no way out. They need salvation as well. So practicing divinity code is where you literally using heart wisdom, okay, come in helping them with love, compassion, and forgiveness. By understanding their situation, that is the compassion. By blessing them instead of zapping and killing them, you are forgiving them. And literally, I will tell you, when you do any of, there are those that go out and, you know, try to kill demons and whatever entities, you don't need to fight. You don't need any weapons. You don't need any, codes, words, chanting, nothing. They literally will come bound down to you because they know you are pure and you're here as part of their salvation, and you bless them. When you bless them, they will be healed and then get released in the right, proper way. And then they will reincarnate it in the next lifetime, you see, by learning this experience and become a better human being. And here, like everybody else, learning each day to become a better and better person, to reach higher and higher ascension.
Fantastic.
Was that a lot of information?
Mm-hmm. I was actually thinking we should take a... I know it's like beyond the hour, but yeah. I was just going to play a little bit of instrumental music.
Okay,
it's
wonderful.
It's called Blues for Ibiza. It's a kind of it's a beautiful little piece, modern music. So this is Jose Padilla. Welcome back. This is Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio and No Borders Radio and everbeyond.info. Tonight I'm speaking with Nikki Thetsi, and we've been pretty cosmic. We've been all the way to the center of the galaxy and back out again. One of the things that I was thinking, Nikki, during the break there, and is I always think, you know, why do we have like wasps, you know, things like that? And I was wondering, I was thinking about the Archons, and that perhaps they're like the little bacteria that eat up the necrotic food, you know, the food that is, that, you know, dead carcasses, and they're part of the universal deconstruction structure, and that they've just kind of cottoned onto the wrong end of things, and they're eating living things instead of eating the dead things. What do you think of that? You can unmute your mic now. Nikki?
Thank you, I was talking. I'm glad you told me to unmute, so I forget sometimes. Thank you.
Everybody does it. Every single radio host, even the most seasoned, forgets to unmute the mic when they speak. Anyway, so go on.
I think a computer needs to just have an unmute button, yeah. You know, like physically touching it rather than doing it on the screen with
yeah.
the long mouth.
Yeah, I actually do. I have a slider. I slide my mic out with like that.
No.
but you know, not everybody has that luxury. So yeah, Archons as necrotic bacteria yeah. of the universe, but kind of glommed onto the wrong thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, they are they're symbiotic. Okay, in sacred neutrality, a prime creator source, okay, in creation, there has to be both negative and positive, and eventually becomes one, yes, but we're at that stage, at the level where it's divided, but in unity. Just look at the yin and the yang sign, you know, the black and the white. But in yin and the white, in the heart of the white, there is black. In the heart of black, there is white. You see, that is divinity in either way. That is always has been the polarity, because eventually polarity becomes one as a whole. Okay, so this we cannot negate. Now, the Archon, their job is to be responsible for the dark side. That's their job. But what happened was they got bored and they're like, we're going to take over. That's what happened. They got greedy and they're bored. So they want to take over. They're like, I'm done. I don't want to do this mundane job. Okay? They're that sore warts that's sticking out on the great toe. Okay? And they're bored of it and they're like, I'm going to take over. I'm going to grow more warts in this body. And that's what they're trying to do. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, instead of being, you know, playing in this, as a symbiotic, as a fair game, being 50-50, they just want to take over. And they will destroy this galaxy. That is their intention. But we, you know, with my activation and in the right timing, as a prophecy has already been aligned, okay, I'm here, I've been activated, and I'm doing work. I mean, we're talking about 24/7. Do I get a break? I hardly get breaks. You know, and to do the work at this level is a challenge in 3D reality, because sometimes you just cannot be driving out on the freeway. You know, cooking is hard. Pushing button even on the cell phone or the computer becomes a challenge because you're not here in 3D. You're like 7-dimension somewhere, you know. So it's a different lifestyle. Very, very much different lifestyle. Having to manage this. And not to say, you know, well, you know, everyone is responsible, okay? I'm not just saying it's me. Each and every one of us still has their divinity code that needs to be activated. Once it's activated, that is the pure free will that comes in. They literally can decide what they want to do. Each one of us are as responsible for Mother Earth, and so is the galaxy as well. Okay, I just happen to be a benevolent being that can have access to all these and can do more, and also my gift and my abilities, but that also come with greater responsibilities. You know, for those that don't understand what I do, there's like, Nikki, you're always up in 5D, 7D, you don't know what's 3D. That's not quite true at all. I'm floating in both worlds, working hard. From 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. doing my T-nano technologies that I'm creating to help people sustain their high frequency and activating them, protecting them, amplify their energies, and allowing them to be able to have that manifesting skill so they can truly live in creating abundance, whether it's love, money, whatever it is that they're trying to do, you see? And then I come home, do my home thing, take care of my standard size white poodle, because he is a rascal. If I don't give him attention, he'll wreck the house. But he's such a wonderful dog. If I don't go out one day, okay, out into the sun or work out, he'll bark. He knows I need to get out of the house and get some sun or just relax and being grounded into Mother Earth or something.
You have a poodle personal trainer.
I know, he's a wonderful dog that keeps me grounded. And then by about 8 p.m., I get into my, I'm building website from 8 till 4 a.m. I've been building, you know, website or taking care of the business or doing readings or whatever that may be. You know, so I've never really had a vacation or a break. And even a vacation has never been a vacation. Last time I went to Kauai, that was no vacation. That was not a vacation. It was very, very hardworking situation for me. So, then I had to, what did I do? Release, ancestral karmic release on the, for the beings that were living on that island for thousands of years. It was really funny. When I landed, my goodness, all I'm hearing is this like Hawaiian music with the luau, you know, constantly playing my head. And I know there's no music around because I know the spirits are with me. you know, welcoming me. And then one time I went in deep meditation. Actually, not even deep. But compared to other people, I'm deep. As soon as I close my eye, I'm in, and I'm in deep. So, you know, I saw, like, the king came and his entourage, you know, and it was just, they were begging for help, to help with the ascension. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, if they're so powerful, they were the old Lemuria, why aren't they doing this themselves? They came and asking me for assistance. So that's when I really looked at it, and I was like, wow, this is really interesting. You know, why are they not ascending? You see? So I went, some of our members were out there looking for properties to buy. They had a hard time, like, finding a real place that they really like, and I know there are properties there. And, you know, we encounter some of the, like, really challenging, things that happened on the island. And as soon as I finished, my ancestral karmic release that I did for Kauai, boy, let me tell you. I mean, like, I got phone calls. Nikki, here are the houses that you were looking for, some of the properties. You know, I was getting all these things that's like, all these amazing things, offerings, you know, that were coming through.
So was this clearing from Lemurian times? Because, like, yeah, Hawaii is part of Lemuria, isn't it?
Yeah, the old Lemuria. Yeah, I did the ancestral karmic release for them. Big time. When I went to the Hindu temple, they had this giant crystal, beautiful quartz crystal. It's so powerful. When you go there, the energy is super amazing. So I got in there, and there's a statue of, like, it looked like Guan Yin with her thousand hands, and I placed my hand against hers. And let me tell you, as soon as I did that, I felt like the earth vibrated, like shook, like earthquake. Tumbling when I placed my hand against hers. And I didn't feel like she was Shiva. I felt like that statue was me. I literally climb up. I mean, I think it was like, I don't know, maybe 10, maybe, let me see, I'm 5'2", I would say maybe 8, 9 feet tall. And I climb up onto the stand. It's all made of pure solid black stone. And I went and I hugged it. As soon as I hugged it, I felt like, oh my God, I miss me. Literally, I miss me. It was the strangest thing. And, you know, and I was like afraid people were going to walk by and say, why are you hugging, you know, climbing and hugging on this sacred statue? And what they don't know is I'm, you know, I'm a different person. So, and I'm like hugging myself. I'm literally hugging myself. I was just crying, like, oh my God, I miss me. You know, being on that island and having that statue that represent you, it was just mind blowing for me. You know?
So that's a Lemurian incarnation.
Yeah.
And so can you tell us a little bit about the story of what happened between Lemuria and Atlantis, and why? I kind of know a little bit of the answer of that, but, you know, I'm trying to get as many different viewpoints as possible, rather than just like the Atlantean viewpoint. So what's the deal? What happened? Why?
Okay, for a fact, we can look at NASA and there's some historical aspect of how Earth have tilted. Okay, you know, Earth needs to be, it has electromagnetic field that's keeping everything within. Okay, so by looking at that, okay, then you have the North Pole. If it's at like completely vertically point, right, from head to south, it's 90 degree completely, right? 90 degree angle. So as time change, the shifting cost changes as well. Right now we're at what, 10%? 10 degrees tilted, right? So anytime that happens, so as the electromagnetic field of Mother Earth. When that shifting happens, it also causes shifting of human consciousness. Okay? So Atlantis was up there in the higher consciousness being, and then as Earth shifted, so was their consciousness. And then as their consciousness shift to lower frequency, okay, the polarity tend to kick in. You see, the negative polarity. So the negative kicks in and start making them think about more of greed, power, okay, selfishness, name it. All the wonderful seven sins in the Bible talked about. So when that happens, okay, human, or the Atlanteans start acting out. they start acting out. That's what we can do to gain power. What do we need to do? I need to overcome, you know, that group, you know, and then this, everybody start getting divided. Okay. And it's, we have to be careful when we address the unity consciousness. If you have groups of people, okay, that start thinking about nothing but war and power, that's unity consciousness at its destructive point. When you have groups of people that think nothing about but love, peace, and harmony, that's unity consciousness. Okay? At its, in the light, in the higher frequency. So when people say unity consciousness, you better check what are they talking about, and don't fall into, because they can literally hijack you and go into the about war and being destructive. That's a negative aspect. Okay, when it's a unity consciousness in creation, okay, from prime creator source, then that is the ultimate, all in one, the natural law. Then you can push, click yes on that one. Okay, so define what it is that they're talking about. Don't just go by the labeling. And I tend to stay away from the labeling because it's easy to be hijacked. Okay, and there's no dark people, groups, or organization or affiliation that is going to come and hijack this. The hijacking comes from within us, because if we have been mind control, you see, programmed by so many elements in our lives, that including LED lights that's flickering, okay, that can even cause mind programming, television, name it, music, okay, lyrical music. It's all mind control, mind programming. Okay, so if we can stay away and realize that, then you're much better off. Now, that sounds a lot of scary. You know, it's like, you know, a lot of times you hear a lot of fear porn, you know, and they talk about from television to GMO food to, you know, kids getting shots and whatever. There's tons of them out there. Okay, so the question is, what is the solution? And I'm here to give the solution, because I believe that there's so many fear porn out there, I don't need to go there at all. And my job is to provide solution, hope, and salvation for all beings. And that is, all you have to do is connect to your divinity by activating your divinity code, going within into that inner self, and that by when you do that, you literally will shift your brain, okay, from beta to theta brain waves, and that's when you go to what the Tibetan Buddhist monk calls shamanic stage, and the Hindu call that, I believe they call that too. So you go into that state of mind in that quantum field, that is the quantum field, okay, and then you will shift, you'll cause the shift, and it also can protect you, you see, from the mind programming. If you're sitting and watching TV and movies, you know, a lot of times we get into the experience. We feel what the actors feel, you see, in the movie theater, okay? But when you are activate divinity, you go and watching movie, you're like, haha, that's not true. You know, you'll be like critiquing the movie constantly. And that's how you can separate yourself, okay, from what is being played out in front of you. Anytime you go watch a movie at the theater, especially at the theater for that full amazing technology effect, it's mind control, mind program. You're being hypnotized, literally. Okay, So yeah, to offset that, go into a meditation state and you'll be start critiquing. Oh, what they're doing, there'll be subtle hints, symbolism, words, you know, that interplay with your mind. And when you are connected with your divinity, you'll be able to decipher a lot of that.
Yeah, this is a very interesting aspect, because it's the way I see it, it's like up until a few years ago, the vast majority of us were sort of sitting in the audience. And now very few of us are standing on the stage as if it was a theatre production. We're seeing, you know, how it is as it's happening. And then a smaller number of us are now able, and we're all going to get there eventually. We're now stepping behind the stage, and we're able to see the guys pulling the levers and pulling the curtains and pushing the rods and manipulating the whole thing. And I think more and more of us are getting get there. And another part of that is like watching a movie and then speaking the dialogue a few seconds before they say it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the...
I think I got off of Jason a little bit. I know there's so much to talk about, JP. I don't even know
what to like. Go on. I'm just introducing another metaphor of seeing the film and being part of being able to make films. You know, mm-hmm. it's the level of consciousness of mm-hmm. how to do that. Yeah. And more and more of us are getting to that level. I mean, on a literal basis, about making movies, you know, more and more people are uploading things to YouTube, and then you think, oh, that looks a bit weird. Let's get into an editor, and you know, we'll add music and put titles on, and very soon, people are making very professional looking movies,
mm-hmm.
Just using their mobile phones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting behind the stage, behind the screen, seeing how the movies are put together. The hero's journey and all that stuff going on.
To get back to your Atlantis Lemuria question, besides the Earth changes that cause our consciousness to altered, okay, this has to do with the Earth transitioning. And this is, you know, the prophecy of the Mayans talked a lot about this too, in terms of, you know, the end of time. What are they talking about? It's about consciousness. It's about ascension, you know. And so you look at that. Now, I'm going to go back even a little bit further in terms of creation, okay? Earth was created out from the central sun. There are higher light ascended beings that's, let's just say, sit on the right throne of God, shall we say, okay, creator, prime creator, whatever you want to call them, okay? And they're responsible is to help with the ascension process, okay? And those beings are, I could tell you, are mainly are the Buddhist. The Buddhist beings are the one that helped that. But in terms of being on Earth, some of that, yes, have been hijacked. That's true. But they're the least amount of religion institution that have been hijacked. But their job still exists on the higher plane. They still come and they still help humanity with the ascension. Now, what this means is that when the Earth was created, okay, the Archon was really pissed off because they were not part of Mother Earth. And that is another reason why they are so in anguish and resentment. The biggest word here is resentment. They had a resentment because they were not part of the creation of Mother Earth for the ascension program. So they want to destroy Mother Earth. That's another reason. Okay, so when Mother Earth was created, humans was created by Gilgamesh. Gilgamesh was the one with his hand, you know, he created humans, okay, the true humans came to Earth, and literally they look like the gods. Like, think of Hercules and the Greek goddesses and gods. They were that powerful, okay? So they were beautiful in perfection because they were created by celestial being, by benevolent being, you see. And the ETs are like, huh, this is interesting. This is a new Earth, new territory. You know, we need the land, the planet exists. So we're going to come, you know, and they, of course, they're always looking. Because remember, some of the ETs out there don't have their own planet. How do you think they exist? They have to go to some planet and grab some dirt, or, you know, their plane just can't be flying all the time. They need a place to build their planes, their aircrafts, their technology. Where do you get their raw material resources? Some planets. So here's Earth. It's beautiful, spanking new. So they're all coming in. They saw humans. They're like, ooh, wow, humans. What are they doing? Oh my goodness, they have this skin suit technology for the ascension. You see, some ETs don't have heart. They're not like us. Okay? So they wanted to be part of the human existence, so they start doing genetic modification. Okay? They start stealing our DNA. Why do you think we have mermaids? Half man, half fish. We got the Sagittarius, Centaurus. What's the other one do we have? Part animal, part human looking.
The Centaurs, because of the Minotaurs. This is all genetic modification experiments, wasn't it?
Yes, yes, yes. They were all experimenting with this, okay? And why do you think our brain is part reptilians? Think about it. Okay, it was because of they incorporate, manipulated our genetic because they wanted to use us for the ascension technology. Okay, and also the other bad race came in, right? And they're like, yeah, we definitely want to use you for slavery because we need you guys to, you know, dig gold and all these natural resources for us. So they did breed us for that too. And they took away, our abilities. They took away, you know, so many things of us. That's why they breed us with animals. Some of the animals on Earth are not from here. They're literally from other planets. Literally from other planets. They were brought in here, like the dolphins, for example. Okay, they were literally brought here to not just exist, but for the experimental purpose, and also to be integrated into the human species. I mean, we were like a genetic lab, mouse lab for them, because they wanted to exist. They saw us and they were pissed because, hello, you guys are celestial being. You know what celestial being means? I mean, we have the power. Literally, there are those the new age people that are anti-ETs, and they said that because ET people have the gift, they can see, they have telepathic ability, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's actually the opposite. It is the human, the pure human, the essence of being real human is the one that has the intuitive ability. We are the one with the greatest gift, and that is our divinity. It is our divinity that allow us to be able to move the mountains, cause earthquake or stop earthquake, and for the ascension, connecting with our soul, that means time travel included, to go the back in the future, the present, and however you want to flow, okay? And then you can also connect with Prime Creator. ETs are very jealous. They don't like it. Why do you think each one of us have all the ETs now? Because they basically genetically manipulate all the humans that were originally here, okay? Transform them. That's why each one of us have ET in some shape or form that are part of our soul family. I haven't met one pure human yet. Not one pure human yet. Okay? And the more human DNA that you activate, the more divinity codes, and for preparing you for the ultimate ascension process. I'm not saying to neglect your ET family. They're still part of your family because we have been integrated as one already genetically on the physical plane. So, you know, on the etheric plane and the higher dimensional plane, they still exist. We can't ignore it. We just have to work with it. And you can't go and blow them up like some other groups and people. You don't do that. You just work around it.
So, Nikki, we've got about 10 minutes to go. The hour has whacked by. I was thinking about having a break. Oh, no, we did have a break. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we did.
But, you know, it was just a very short one. So, why don't you tell people about the cool golden things that you sell on your website? Because, you know, they're really sparkly, shiny, and they're organites, and they're supercharged, and, you know, what's the difference between your products and regular organite with metal and crystals?
Right. And, you know, a lot of people think it's, you know, organites are the same, and they're not. They're not at all. Mine's called T-Nano, okay? And it's a work inspired by Nikola Tesla. He's definitely one of my all-time favorite scientists. And also, I really gravitate toward a lot of his thinking and his creation. And another note is that once one is connected to your divinity, you become really creative. You can tune in pretty much anything, you know. I feel like I'm a walking Google sometimes. But on that note, it's like the T-Nano is a very powerful tool. It's created to help humanity with the ascension process. And, you know, I've gone through serious transformation in this lifetime, that I found that it's really expensive having someone to activate you. And being an empath, I was like, you know, absorbing, sponge up every energies around me. And instead of, you know, lying there on the table and people healing me, I'm like reading them their energy. I'm like, oh, you just gave me your, you know, traumatized childhood energy, then I go home, I had to go and clean it up. That's just extra work. So I created this technology so then people will have like their own personal healer with them 24/7. You take the disc, especially with the T-Nano One with Creator, stick it underneath your pillow, sleep with it, you'll have a lucid dream. Like you can literally see it in front of you watching a movie. And can you change the future? Yes. You can literally change the future, the outcome, how you want things to play out just by going to dream state. I do that all the time. Okay, so I'm giving you guys the power and the ability to go and do that. Most of you will have easier time now to dream because I fixed the dream grid and it's restored, naturally restored to Mother Earth management. It's not being stolen by other race anymore. Okay. Second thing is the T-Nano helps you with amplification of your energy field. Mostly we have energy field that comes out to about a foot from our chest. This one will give you minimum 10 feet if you're wearing the disc, okay? 10 feet of radius, that's 20 feet in diameter, okay? That's how much energy amplification you have. What does it mean? Well, guess what? If you have 20 feet in radius of energy, you want it to manifest something, it's going to happen faster. If your energy feels only a foot away from your chest, that's how much energy you're going to make only a foot away from your chest. If your energy is 50 feet, that's how far whatever you're manifesting, your consciousness will travel to 50 feet. Okay, it's an extension of you. It is very, very intuitive. It will work with you. When you sleep with it, when you have it on you, you're programming it. It becomes one with you. And constantly, when you're exposed to it, it will increase your energy as well. And it works on your DNA level, cellular level, not your outside aura. It works from within. So once it alters your DNA, increase your frequency, then it's easier for you to manage and you're not going to become the yo-yo effect. Okay, the yo-yo are like people that, you know, there are those group of people that go and they expose to, let's say, the Pleiades energy coming in. You know, they're like for healing and high energy. What they don't realize is that some of those ET energy that are coming through, they're not human. Okay, you're still human in 3D reality with gravity. So integration is a challenge. Challenge. It can cause some problems. So by taking any of my disc, okay, you place it on your, little bit to your left, chest, right below your collarbone, literally it will help you integrate much faster if that's what you're trying to do. Okay, otherwise, all you have to do is wear it. You don't have to do anything. I created this so that people will have easy access. It's that easy button, so you don't have to think. You see, you want it to be able to reserve your energy, to be able to do amazing things, like filtering system, using your heart wisdom. That's where your brain needs to be focusing, not how much energy am I going to use today, you know what I mean? How much clearing do I need today? When you're wearing this, it'll clear for you. It's like an air filtering system. Continuously filters out negative energies. Okay, it allows you to do whatever you need to do. Now, the significant part of my technology is the seal. Sometimes I'll say logo. The logo is, you know, more like a commercialized marketing word, but technically it's a seal. That's S-E-A-L. What a seal is different is that it's programmed. Okay, it is programmed from within of the prime creator source. That is basically a prime creator source seal. What does it mean? It comes with very powerful, powerful energy. If anybody wear this technology, if you have demons, low frequency entities, demons, they're trying to possess you, it won't. It will run away. It won't kill them. Remember, we don't kill. All conscious being have the rights to exist. And that's when you take another person, come in and say, I'm sending this demon blessings, be healed, and then release. Okay? And they will literally ascend. But in the meantime, if you're not capable of doing that, okay, then you definitely can protect yourself just by wearing it. It will protect you. It will protect you. Have I seen it with my own eyes? Yes. I've seen people that have been possessed by three ancient demons. This lady was Christina. She's on a UFO paranormal radio site. And she's been 13 generation of Masonic family, have three possession of very ancient demons that basically was my T-Nano cones perform exorcism right in front of me. And I didn't do anything. I just stood there and just watched everything that happened. And Laura Eisenhower, the great-granddaughter of Eisenhower, she was the one that was there too. And she was witnessing this. And Dr. Dream was there too when this happened. And she kept pulling out her tarot cards and keep saying, demons, demon, demon. It was, to me, it was funny, you know, because, you know, demons are not as bad as they are. I mean, if we could just look at ourselves in the mirror and say, you know, we all have done something bad that we regret, or we're not, you know, that we're ashamed of. So we can have forgiveness for ourselves and we can have forgiveness for others too. You know, so that's why in Divinity Code, this product was created for that. And it's just the ultimate all-in-one tools that can help people with their ascension, with their self-healing. It can be used to help heal other people, you know, helping preparing their physical body for a higher frequency. Okay, because it takes a lot of work to literally change your body at DNA level, that is, okay? You literally have to go through extensive amount of clearing, cleansing, lots of energy healing, change your environment, the way you eat, the way you think. Everything has to be completely transformed into something different within non-traditional stuff. You may have to become vegetarian, you know, vegan, whatever that may be. My product comes and be like, it's an easy button. It just literally will help you. Literally will help you. You don't even have to like, oh, I'm going to go and change. The more you're exposed to it, you'll be like, the next time you go eat meat, you look at me, you're like, God, I'm sick. I don't want to eat meat. Then you question, well, why did I just have all the chain all of a sudden? I don't want to eat meat. Well, it's because you've been wearing T-nano technology. You just deprogram and change your DNA level to high frequency. Now anything that's lower, you don't even have interest in it. You literally just change, you know. So is it free choice? Yeah, because you understand the technology. And when you go to my website, my new one at tnanohealingtools.com, you'll see different explanation of what it does. You know, this is given to you, okay, for a fact, and it's for you to choose. It's your free will. There's nothing hidden about it, okay? Nothing hidden. It's all about your free will to choose. If you want to increase your frequency, if you want to focus on your higher path and advancement of spirituality work, then you go to that and then check it out and read it and see what gravitate towards you. And I highly recommend people to get the pendant, because we're mobile, you know, we're moving, doing things, and so wearing it 24/7 will help you. And another thing I love about it is it grounds you while you're doing intuitive work. Most people who do intuitive work, they're not grounded. They're floating somewhere, and it's horrible. Horrible. Because you can cause accidents and all sorts of things. Being grounded and protected, doing sensitive work, is vital.
Nikki, we're out of time.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. It's been fascinating.
You're welcome.
We'll have more conversations. So God bless you, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Stay tuned, everybody. We're going to be joining Frank Jordan in a few more minutes. Good night. See you next week. Well, I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Beyond.